Thank you, Mr. Kellers, and hello, everyone. Pat and I have been away for about 5 weeks, and I almost thought compelled to go and sign the guest book. We were speaking over in Knoxville, Bowling Green, over in Jackson, and then I had a bout with bronchitis, so that knocked me out for a few weeks there as well, too. But good to be back to see everyone, and I have a very special blessing today. Our daughter Elizabeth and her son Zan and daughter Evie is here, and also her mother-in-law, Mrs. Bucari. It's in from Florida, so a special blessing for me on that as well, and certainly appreciate them being here with us. I did want to mention a couple of other things here. I do thank everyone for their prayers, and I know there are many other people that we need to be praying for. Several have been asking about Patsy Murray. You all remember Bill and Patsy Murray from the Worldwide Church as well. And Patsy, as you know, we sent out some information on the email about her, and we got some good news that came back about the biopsy that was done on her liver. They thought she had a liver that was infected with something, came back negative. Her liver is okay. Now, she does have a problem with her spleen and her white cell blood count. Now, her white cell blood count did drop to zero, which means no immune system. And so this is on August the 2nd, coming up real close here. She goes in to see a specialist that is going to consult with her about her spleen. You know, if there's something that is not working properly, the spleen is like the catch-all of your blood. It is bypassed from the liver to the spleen. And the result, evidently, is the loss of the white blood cells in some way. Anyway, please pray for her on August the 2nd when she goes in to counsel with the specialist that's going to be talking to her about her spleen. Her spleen did grow to the size of about a football. Now, a normal spleen is about the size of your fist. You know, so there is a big difference there. And they have requested prayers for Patsy, and Patsy has requested them. Patsy and Bill both believe in prayer, that is for sure. So please keep them in your mind as well, too. And once again, about Mr. Fakuri and the family there, please pray for them. They need your prayers, and they love each and every one of our church family that is here. So please do that. We were going to have another song, but I think I'll just go ahead and get into the sermon, because the sermon's going to tie right in, is going to tie right in with the funeral that we did yesterday for Mrs. Fakuri. It will tie right in, so I'll just go ahead and start that right now. Title of today's sermon is, Are We Ready for Christ's Return? You know, each and every one of us is appointed to die sometime. And we have to ask ourselves the question, are we ready for the return of Christ? Because with his return will also be the resurrection. And we have to ask ourselves these questions. Now, we know when we read in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, these are all scriptures that Jesus is speaking in the Olivet prophecies. And in his message that he gives throughout that, he warns us to be very vigilant about our personal spiritual condition, something that we all need to think about. We live in these temporary bodies, not made to last. They wear out, they get old, and it's part of God's plan that we don't live forever in these temporary bodies. He has a better life for us later to be like him in Jesus Christ, and that would be living in a spirit body in the form that they are in. And also Jesus was describing there the conditions and the events that will lead up to his second coming. If you will, turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and let's read verses 36 through 39. 36 through 39 is Jesus speaking, and he says, But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, They were eating and they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also with the coming of the Son of Man will be. Going to come very suddenly. Very, very suddenly there, just like in the days of Noah. You know, and everybody's going to be thinking, well, you know, with all the troubles that we're having, that we're watching on the news and everything, you know, we kind of get hardened to that. We get crusted over from that, and we think, well, it's, you know, we see the same thing on the nightly news every night, people killing each other, and this people trying to take over others, people robbing each other. We get hardened to such a thing, and we are not thinking about the return of Jesus Christ. And this is a warning that Jesus is giving to each and every one of us. And then let's look over to verse 42 there in chapter 24. Verse 42, he says, watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. And then over in verse 44, he says, therefore, you also be ready. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. We don't need to get caught up so much into this life of what is going on in the world, because we know that things are going to be changing and that Jesus is going to be coming unexpectedly. And he gives us that warning throughout this to be vigilant about our own personal spiritual condition. These are face-to-face questions that you look into the mirror and you look at yourself, and you're going to be telling yourself the truth. Where do I stand? Am I in agreement with the things that Jesus has said? Am I in agreement with God's commandments? Am I doing what I am supposed to be doing? And, you know, in our short lives that we are living here, this is our time. This is our time to be doing what we need to be doing. We do need to watch the current events, and we do need to read the prophecies, and we need to avoid sin in our lives. We need to have the character of God, which is love, and we need to be thinking, how can I help and serve other people? How can I be ready for the return of Jesus Christ? And ever since Adam and Eve, the world has been in deep, deep trouble. This is not something new in these end times that we're living. Well, it's end times for us because our life is nailed down to very short time. And ever since Adam and Eve, there has been trouble. There's been fighting with people with each other. Greed has been very strong, glorifying selves, people seeking power over other people, and the outright denying of our Creator God, who created all of us. And as what people do, they set up little idols that glorify themselves and the little things that they worship. And we know any little false god that we make up, no matter what it is, it could be a sports car, it could be your child, or it could be anything that you would put before God. If you put anything before God, it's an idol. Well, as we know, human nature and world conditions has not changed since Adam and Eve. Greed in human nature has been strong, and there has been trouble ever since God created humans. Jesus describes the conditions and the events that will lead up to his return. Now, Jesus spoke of these things, 2,000 years ago. And we know roughly the length of our physical lives. You know, we can start counting what years we think we might have left. Of course, we don't know. Age has got nothing to do with death. You can be young, you could be in the middle, you could be old. Well, most definitely when you're old, you know, the length of our physical lives we can just about look at. And we need to be thinking about our spiritual condition. We need to be ready. Because every human being, you can look into the sky, you can look into all of God's creation, you can't deny that it was created by God. Man had nothing to do with creating anything that we see. This earth that we live on, the air that we breathe, you know, it is a miracles. All these miracles that God has performed is for us. We were created in the image of God. We are at the top of the chain. We are created a little lower than the angels, But God created us in his image, and he did it. He gave us this physical body that's temporary on purpose. Christ's disciples were asking him the same questions that we are probably asking today as to when he would return. And the answer is found in Mark 13:32, and you don't have to turn there. Just mark it down on your notes if you would. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father alone knows when he will send his Son back to earth. And then in verse 33, he says, Jesus said, "Take heed, keep on alert, for you do not know the appointed time." Why did Christ say this? Because in our short little life that we are living, this little life that we're in, you know, we will get hardened from the news that we hear. We will get tired of waiting. And we will think, well, he's not going to come back in my lifetime. Or, you know, we have no idea when he's going to come back. The disciples were asking him the same question about it. When are you going to come back? Only God the Father knows. Only God the Father knows. And human nature is going to stay the same, just like it is in the rest of the world right now. There's going to be fighting, there's going to be jealousies, there's going to be greed, all sorts of things are happening. Nothing's going to change, but we need to take heed, take warning of where our spiritual condition is. Let's read in the book of Mark, just a few pages over, Mark 13, verses 34 through 37. God wants our full attention on this. Mark chapter 13, verses 34 through 37. It is like a man going to a foreign country. Is what Jesus is doing here. He is describing himself. He is describing himself here. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, what he should be doing, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. The doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. Now he's really not talking about sleeping at night like we normally do, like we humans normally do. He's talking about daydream sleeping here, being lackadaisical. In verse 37, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. We can read the signs of the times of what is happening. And then the other part, of course, is our age. You know, we are in our last days of living. Some of us older ones, and even some younger ones. We just don't know when our number is up. Jesus says, we will not be ready at his return, that we will be taken by surprise. The majority of people, I'm speaking of us Christians, will not be spiritually alert, and much worse, the majority will not even be aware of the world conditions. They will be hardened to them, just like the nightly news. Oh yeah, so-and-so got killed here, and this happened and that happened, and we will get hardened to the news. These world conditions that lead up to the return of Jesus Christ that is prophesied in the Bible, we hear the same news over and over, and it becomes dull. It makes our brains even dull. Peter warns us in 2 Peter. Let's turn over to 2 Peter, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's start in verse 1 there. He says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, the second letter, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Peter was sending out a reminder here, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. You know, they want to speak what they want to speak and want to be in power and do everything else. And they will say, you know, Christ will not return. Verse 4, and there it is. Where is the promise of his coming, they say? Where is he at? For since the fathers have fallen asleep, are dead, you know, the generations go by and the older ones die off, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's exactly right. There has been trouble ever since. For this they willfully forget that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water. This is at the beginning of creation, when through miracles God brought this earth out of the water, by which the world then existed and perished. And it's also talking about the flood here, of Noah's flood. We're flooded by water. But the heavens and the earth which now exist are kept in store by the same word, by the word of God and the power of God and his Holy Spirit, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition, which is destruction, of ungodly men. As long as men are ungodly and sinful, there's going to be a price to pay. There's going to be punishment. Verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. You know, God is very, very patient with us humans. He is very patient with us. The Lord is not slack in concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, very, very patient toward us, not willing, because he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He wants us all to say, yes, I have been wrong. I'm going to obey your commandments. I want to receive your blessings. I want to repent of my sins. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away and a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it. You know, all of the bad, sinful things that are going on will be burned up as well. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Again, what is your spiritual condition? What is our spiritual condition? What persons ought we to be? In holy conduct, in godliness is what we ought to be. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will dissolve, being on fire, and the elements will melt away with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness dwells. All sin and bad things that are going on are going to be burned up, and we are looking forward to the new heaven and a new earth. God the Father is going to come down here to the earth and be setting up his kingdom where righteousness will dwell. Any that's going to be in the family of God will not offend. There will be righteousness that will abound. We ought to be correcting and controlling our thoughts and our minds. We shouldn't go along with all the slime that's going on in the world and all the different programs that are on TV that are completely directed towards sin and different lifestyles that are going on. Our Father, our Creator God in heaven, has blessed and protected the United States. Who is the United States? The United States is Manasseh, the first son of Joseph, and his second son, Ephraim, which is the British Commonwealth. We are both Israelite nations. God honored the blessings that Jacob, Israel, placed on the heads of his Joseph's sons. As we know from reading the account in Genesis 48, 17 through 20, and it says, in round terms here, it says that Manasseh, the older son, which is the United States, would be a great single nation, and the younger son, Ephraim, would be a great multitude of nations tied together. You know, there was a time when, with Great Britain and the Commonwealth, that the sun did not go down on the Commonwealth, all around the world. Well, we have seen in the last few decades that they have lost all of their glory. All of their power is melting away. Even right now today, England has been overrun by the Muslim nations. And even the mayor of London now is a Muslim. They outnumber the British people there. So prophecy is coming through where their pride of their power is gone. And the United States is headed for the same destruction as well. Again, we know them as the British Commonwealth, and we know what is going to happen to those nations that are disobedient to God. You know, it's really hard for God, with all that is going on, to bless the nation of the United States. With all of the wrong, evil things that are going on, God will pass judgment. Now, the only reason that he has to bless this nation is to protect the elect, those who are faithfully following and obeying his commandments. As we know that our Heavenly Father is very merciful and he loves his children. We are all his children all over the face of the earth, and he wants all of us to repent of our sins and come to him. And he loves to bless us with the desires of our heart, and for our own good. You know, we must obey him and learn the lessons of how to think, how to do the attributes of his character. Again, none in his family will offend. If we don't have the attributes of his character, which is based on love, we're going to be left out. To truly be sons and daughters of God, we must learn the character of God. And we know from reading the accounts all through the Bible of those who obeyed for a while and then took God's commandments for granted and fell backwards. You know, it's very, very easy in this day and age with all of the blessings that man thinks that they have and have done on their own to get distracted of all of the diversions that are going on. It's easy to take God's commandments for granted and fall backwards. We have learned that really conversion is an ongoing process, something that we need to work on every day, not just say, well, yeah, I believe and I'm converted. No, this is an ongoing process. We need to be looking at the condition of our spiritual life every day, and we need to check ourselves. You know, in Galatians 5, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. And I've mentioned this before, and Pat and I have this on our refrigerator door, the fruits of the Spirit. And at the bottom, I have a little note on it that says, how am I doing? You know, it can wake up your thoughts just by walking up to the refrigerator, if you have them on there, and check yourself. You may surprise what you see. But we have learned that conversion is a process, and we need to be on guard day and night to avoid falling back into sins of this life. God wants us to keep his commandments. He wants us to be following him in his character and learning his character. And as a good parent, our Heavenly Father will and does correct his children. He will correct us. You know, and in speaking of the end times, we are to watch and discern to understand those current events that are happening, that are happening all around the world in the United States, and we are living in an age of advanced knowledge. You know, the Bible even speaks of that knowledge would abound in the last days. We have computers on the internet. We can see instantly what is happening on the other side of the world as it happens live. We are living in this advanced knowledge that is prophesied in the Bible. Now, all of us, you know, none of us know when the Father will send his Son back to the earth. But as we read the prophecies and the signs of the times, they tell us that these could be the last days. Now, of course, the disciples back with Jesus thought that they were in the last days. But, you know, before Christ returned and he is coming with a sword, he is coming to bring punishment and justice to this earth. And he will bring destruction on the whole earth. There has to be a cleaning up process to go on, and that's what Jesus will do before he sets up God's coming kingdom. And unrepented sin brings punishment. And just as Mrs. Fukuri, to peacefully die in your sleep, you know, that could be the real place of safety, to be spared all that is going to be coming on this earth. And punishment, hopefully, will bring repentance to people. You know, as we get punished, as a little kid, when you did something wrong, you know, and your mom or dad, you know, gave you a swat or a good talking to or whatever, they were in hopes that you would learn something, that you would repent, that you would turn from what you were doing and learn a lesson from it. That's what God wants from us. And if it means punishment, it means skinned knees, or even worse, he will do whatever it takes to get you to turn from the sinful life and to repent, to turn from that way of living. And we can make it easy on ourselves, or we can make it hard. God gives us a choice. He gives us a choice to make. He is not going to force us to obey him. He will give us lessons in life that we can learn from. But it is our choice that we need to make if we want to make it easy on ourselves or make it hard, and we need to be learning the character of God. Through all of the destruction, God is merciful, and he encourages us with his promise to watch over and care for his people, those that have repented, they have turned from their sins, and are obedient, keeping his commandments. He will protect us during the time of unprecedented destruction. I'm talking about the Great Tribulation that's going to be coming on. And we're having punishment things that's going on right now, right in our faces, that we don't want to get our minds hardened about, but we need to pay attention to. Jesus said, there is nothing wrong with wanting to avoid suffering, the end time disasters. And let's turn to Luke 21. Let's turn to Luke 21 and read a little bit about that. Gospel of Luke chapter 21. Let's read verses 36 through 34. I'm sorry, 34 through 36. We're going to read them backwards here. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. You know, that's an overall view of the base things in life. People say, well, you know, I've got nothing else to live for. Let's just go ahead and get drunk and ease our minds for a while. Well, we really don't want to do that. And he says, and the day come upon you unexpectedly. God wants us to be sober-minded. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And then in verse 36, here's what he says. He says, watch, therefore, and pray always. Why? That you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray always that you may escape these things, is what he is saying. Jesus encourages us to be alert, aware. Be vigilant about our own spiritual life to make sure that we're on the right side of the fence. Because when Jesus comes as a thief in the night, we want to be on the right side of the fence. Just as Jesus performed miracles to protect Noah and his family, when the flood came, of course, the miracles he performed with Noah building the ark. Well, Jesus Christ is our ark. He is the one that's going to carry us through this. God will protect those of us that belong to him during the 3.5 years that are prophesied, as in Zephaniah 2, verse 3 tells us. You don't have to turn there, but write it down. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3 tells us. He says, seek the Lord, all you meek. And the definition of meek that I have used several times in the past is to be tamed. To be tamed by God. You know, it's like you can train a horse. You can tame a horse to listen to your commands and do your commands. We want to allow ourselves to be tamed by God. To be tamed of the earth who have upheld his justice. He wants us to seek humility. Not be grandizing ourselves. Be humble is what he wants us to be. to pay attention to his commands and not miss one of them. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger if we do that and be humble and obedient. He may hide us in that day and spare us his anger. We also know that Satan will try to destroy God's people, and God will provide the means for many. Listen to this very carefully. God will provide the means for many, but not all, to be spared this very dangerous time. Now I'm talking about Christians, talking about you and me. Many will be spared, but not all. Jesus said he will care for those who faithfully serve him during that time. Let's turn to the back of the book into Revelation. Let's turn to Revelation 12. I got a few scriptures in Revelation, so I'll stick there a little bit until we get those cleared up. But Revelation 12, let's turn there. 12:17, one scripture there. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. Who is the woman? The woman is the church. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God. Now, we're talking about Christians. Keep the commandments of God. And the dragon will be enraged with that church, with God's church, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then let's turn a few more pages over to chapter 14, verse 12. Maybe one page over. Chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 12. Through 14, Jesus speaking, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. He's talking about how we live. What is our work? How have we been conducting ourselves? Have we been vigilant with our spirituality? How have we been living is what he's talking about here. And he says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, and they may have the right, those who keep the commandments, may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city, into God's coming kingdom. If we keep his commandments, we may have the right to do that. And yet, it is sad to say, and prophecy tells us this, that not all of God's people will be protected during this end time. Christ said that part of his church will not be spiritually ready. Part will not be spiritually ready. We have heard these things before, and we may have glossed over them. We may have gotten a little bit hardened to even hearing it. We know the parable that is in Matthew 25, speaking of the 10 virgins that did not keep their spiritual life ready for the return of Christ. And remember what Christ said to them. Let's turn back to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Get my sticky pages apart. Matthew 25, let's start in verse 1. Jesus speaking again, he says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. What are their lamps? Oh, they put on a good face. They put on a good appearance. That is their lamps. They put on this very good appearance. Now, five of them were wise. They were smart. They were keeping God's commandments and doing God's will, what God wanted them to do. And five were foolish. Some were acting like they were, but really weren't. These who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. As all they had was a good face hanging out, but in their heart, their spirituality was dry. But the wise took oil, God's Holy Spirit, in their vessels. Their vessels are their bodies, their hearts, and their minds. With their lamps, with their appearance, they had God's Holy Spirit in them. They have been eating the spiritual food with their daily Bible study. Verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, though they put on the best face that they could. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Give us some of your Holy Spirit. I know you have been doing your daily Bible study, and you're up on what the Bible says that God wants us to do. Give us some of your Holy Spirit, some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. It has to be done individually. You have to eat God's spiritual food in your daily Bible study and learning how to have the character of God. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. We have seen many of these charlatans that are on TV. They said, you know, help me to help you. Send me all your money, you know. And they think they can go buy spirituality. No, you can't. Now, verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in to him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse 12, and here's what Jesus said, and this would be the worst words that any of us could ever have Jesus say to us. But he answered and he said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. No, we don't. And Jesus' message is to check up on your spirituality. Where do you stand? You don't know how long you're going to live. We only have the next breath because God allows us to have it. In our physical lives, Jesus is telling us to keep an eye on our spirituality. Stay awake. Don't be dull from the news that you hear. Don't get laxed in your Bible study to keep your spirit filled with his word. Although the end time is a period of unprecedented world trouble, it also tells us that we are on the threshold of God's coming kingdom. This is what we pray for. We don't want to live in our physical bodies forever and ever that get old and hurt, fall apart. Got a phone call last night from Lois Thompson. Love Lois Thompson. She's listening in right now. And she is requesting your prayers and my prayers that her occupational therapy insurance or whatever it is goes through that will help her to be able to set up on the edge of the bed. Or maybe even take a couple of steps on the floor. This lady is confined day and night to a bed. Please send your prayers to God for her to strengthen her. Remember what God said. Is there anything too hard for me? No, there's not. God can perform miracles, but he loves to hear our fervent prayers, meaningful prayers that we want to pray for each other. We want to pray for Lois and others as well, too. But we are on the threshold, all these things that are happening, we're on the threshold of God's coming kingdom. We want God's kingdom to come. We want to be changed into a spirit being and live forever. The keys are is to be obedient. If we are obedient, we can have that. We can have eternal life. That's what God is offering to us. He gives us the chance to choose if we want that. He's not going to force it on us. That is our hope. Paul gives us a wonderful perspective of how we spiritually need to be prepared for the end time, regardless of when it comes. And we know that today, Paul himself is in the grave. He is waiting. He is unconscious, of course, just as anyone dies. that instantly your spirit goes back to God. And it's not conscious. It is back. God said he knew us before he formed us in the womb. And we were unconscious until we were born. And we had life. But as soon as life goes out of us, our spirit goes back to God. Paul is in the grave. He knows nothing. Ecclesiastes 9:5 tells us that those of us who are alive, we know we're going to die, but the dead knows nothing, which is a blessing. We want to do as Paul is telling us here. Our Savior Jesus Christ may come back during our lifetime, or we may die, go into the grave, but either way, it makes no difference. We are to keep ourselves ready in the little short lifetime that God has given us. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. I won't keep you long today. Give you just a few things here. 1 Thessalonians 5, let's start in verse 1, 1 through 11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should even write to you. No. We can read the signs and the seasons that we're in. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, you know, we have politicians right now that are saying, hey, vote for me, and if it happens, you're going to have peace and safety. Excuse me, all is going to be well. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. When a labor pain hits, it is sharp and hard, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. It's not that we don't know. We know. We're not in the dark here. So that this day should overtake us as a thief. You are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night in the darkness, as some are living in their dulled lives. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. He's talking about don't be daydreaming and, you know, just off in never land thinking that you're going to be fat and happy. But let us watch and be sober. Let us understand what this life is about, that we have a short time to learn what we need to learn and to be obedient to God if we want to have eternal life and be in his family. God is putting together a family. For those who sleep at night, you know, like a normal person does. And for those who get drunk, they get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day, we are of the day, we are enlightened, we know God's truth, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, which means whether we are alive or dead, we shall live together with him. We can be secure of that. Dying this physical life is not a bad thing. Dying probably is the ultimate place of safety. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one each other with this. And you also, you know, encourage one another that we are doing. We need to keep in mind that God has a complete plan of life. Complete plan of life. And dying and losing this physical body is part of it. Well, as I said, I won't keep you too long. In closing, we are in the end times of our lives, just as his disciples were back when they were talking with Jesus. You know, when's the end going to be? Well, this is our little short blink of life that God has given us here. Just as it was for Paul and the disciples, you know, they were asking him, you know, when will the end come? Jesus tells us to be spiritually ready, for we do not know. Even Jesus the Christ does not know the hour or the time. You know, he does not know. He said not even the angels, but only God the Father. And Jesus assures us in Luke 21:28, Now, when these things begin to happen, he says here, when these things begin to happen, he says, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Be aware of what's happening. The prophecies have never failed. Jesus Christ will return, but he will do it. He will do it when God the Father turns to him and says, now it's time to go back, and I want you to gather my sons and daughters, my saints, those who were faithfully obeying my commandments and obeying me, because I want them to live with me in the spirit form forever. What a wonderful gift of life that God is offering to us. Those of us that God has revealed his truth to, the prophecies have never, ever missed. Are we ready for Christ's return? That's the question. And only you yourself can answer that question for yourself. Let's think about it. Let's be ready. Let's be watching. Let's do what Jesus said. Let's be very vigilant of our spiritual condition. It's good to see y'all.